fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest is Fiona Kaptur. Now, you are surrounded by young people, so because you're the CEO of JAY, which is the Junior Achievement Young Enterprise. You teach kids to sort of start businesses, essentially, within schools-ish?
Ish. Okay, so hello, everybody. The three pillars that JAYE is based on are namely entrepreneurship, financial literacy, and work readiness, otherwise known as employability skills.
Okay.
And the main theme behind everything is the concept of ideating, coming up with an idea, checking out its feasibility, possibly producing it, and eventually selling it. Okay. And the concept of running a business from start to finish.
Okay.
Through that, we basically teach a huge amount of life skills, because ultimately the concept of starting a business and teaching business acumen is a means to an end, because really we're focusing on financial capability, learning how to work in a team, communication skills, a lot of the soft skills that are really kind of coming up now, more so with COVID, I think, because most kids have all, you know, all been virtual and unable to really kind of be in touch with people face to face. So that's kind of what we do.
And so you kind of, like I said, used to being around, you know, young people. Not that much influence on your playlist.
Not
young,
at all.
Young, funky songs. I was wondering if we were going to have a bit of boom boom, but we start with an actually really beautiful song, which is Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. Where does that take you back to?
Music has always played a very big part in my family, and the main reason for that was my dad, who sadly passed away this summer, not COVID-related. And the reality is that his passion for music, he definitely passed on to all of us. And he obviously loved opera, but he obviously had a big spectrum of musical tastes, and Louis Armstrong was one of the ones that we would always sing together.
Oh.
And so it's a very sweet memory that comes back to me, because I always woke up on a Sunday morning to Dad's music and opera and Pavarotti and Mario Lanza's Santa Lucia, and Louis Armstrong was definitely there in the process, and at that point we'd all kind of sing along together and we'd become one big chorus.
Oh, wonderful.
So that really brings a very, very sweet memory for me.
So we're going to have a listen to the whole of that. It's Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, watch them grow, they're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thank you. Now, this one was, I was quite amused. It's put a big smile on my face to see. Because it just doesn't, I don't know, Flash Gordon? You know, I mean, what?
Well, you know, this is about memories, not about favourite songs.
Uh-huh.
But I suppose this is in there because the memory comes from the fact that it was a favourite song, certainly at the time. So this goes back to my sixth form days at St. Aloysius College. And St. Aloysius is notoriously known for its soiree, mm-hmm. which is a very big deal. Uh-huh. Sod your lessons, let's get rehearsing.
Uh-huh.
And Flash Gordon was the one we decided to do. And I spent 4 months trying to teach 12 boys a particular dance sequence, and I can't tell you what it took to get them to do it. But the funniest story was we made pants for them to wear out of black garbage bags.
Uh-huh.
And they had torches in their hands,
okay.
which they had to flash around the room as part of the scene. And when we did the flashing bit around the room, one of the guys, and I won't mention his name because he's a really well-known doctor these days, didn't know what to do with the torch, so he just stuck it down his trousers. And of course, this black garbage bag just lit up in the middle of the theatre. And our headmaster at the time, who is also a notorious character, Father Julia, really did not appreciate it.
But now every time when you see this doctor, do you sort of think of him with the torch down his pants?
We have a laugh every time we meet up. You know, there's always these reminiscing ideas that come back about Flash Gordon and the sequence and how long it took to learn them, and then of course the classic moment with the torch down the pants.
Yes. So we're gonna dun 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 listen to a bit of Flash Gordon, and we're gonna try and calm the laughter afterwards. We'll be back. Little Shop of Horrors, who's that by?
Little Shop of Horrors is an American musical which was actually staged, ironically, at Sertemi Zamit Hall at the University of Malta.
Mm-hmm.
And the director at the time was Chris Gutt.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it was put up by MADC. And I have done a number of productions from a wardrobe and a production point of view. As a student, theatre was a big part of my life. And Little Shop of Horrors was a fantastic musical. It's a very hard musical to put up. But there were a few very important moments in it. Two that I really think of as strong memories that will always be with me. One was we got a huge standing ovation at the end of the first night. Now, anybody who knows the university's hall, it's not only huge, it's also on the round, and the audience is very close to you.
Okay.
So when you're standing on stage, obviously behind the scenes in my case, and you see everybody standing up, it is the most goosebump moment that you will ever feel. But that wasn't just the sort of pinnacle of it all. As I walked out of the last production, this was somewhere around May, I believe, and I had my finals, my university finals coming up. That was supposed to be 8 weeks later. Mm-hmm. So I had sort of gambled on doing the production and being okay with 8 weeks of revision to get to my finals. And just outside the door on the notice board, just outside Seretemi Zamit Hall, they had just stuck my examination timetable and we were starting in 3 weeks' time.
Okay.
And I died of heart failure.
So a bit of cramming.
Just a tad.
But don't you think also that if they could do academic subjects the same way that they do musicals and theatre and song, that we were there just flown through stuff? Because how do you remember theatre and music, and yet when it comes to remembering, you know...
I think you're hitting the nail on the head with what I'm doing at the moment, because the whole point of Young Enterprise is learning by doing.
Mm.
It's actually the fact that you're not sitting behind a desk and learning text. It's getting your hands dirty and getting out there and actually doing it.
And
that just proves your point, basically.
Yeah. Well, you managed, because you didn't do too badly.
No.
But we are going to take you back to a little Shop of Horrors right now.
Wonderful.
On the 21st day of the month of September, in an early year of a decade not too long before our own, the human race suddenly encountered a deadly threat to its very existence. And this terrifying enemy surfaced, as such enemies often do, in the seemingly most innocent and unlikely of places.
Pachelbel?
Yes, that's a classical piece.
Mm-hmm.
This is a piece that is very close to my heart. I'm not entirely sure when I discovered it, but it was a piece that was played during my wedding. So it has a very, very special moment. And I suppose we would also add a little bit of a aloft at this one, because this was played as we were walking out to sign the books, okay, as they did in those days. I think now they will do it all together. And as we were walking out to have the book signed, my freshly then husband, like of 30 seconds before, stepped on my train and popped all the buttons on my wedding dress. So, of course, we promptly had the first argument as a married couple. Nothing's changed.
So, but do you sort of play this then when you're angry? So just to remind him to take him back, or?
I don't actually, because it is really, truly a favorite piece. Okay. So I do actually, I do play it. It's actually in my car on a regular basis, because it's just a little bit of passion that I really do enjoy. But it always makes me laugh, because, you know, he still managed to make me angry just 30 seconds after signing the book.
Oh, but you know, you've been together a long time now, so
26 years married. So, yeah,
there you go. So we're going to tune in to Special Bell.
Thank you.
snow patrol, chasing cars. This is the little bit. Again, not, I just don't see it. Where is that memory?
That memory is something that actually is a really sweet little thing that my daughter, who's now turning 19, shares with my husband. My husband's a snow patrol freak, as she is, and it's a song that they tend to dance together when they're together. So it brings a lot of sweet memories, because as soon as the music comes on, it's like, you know, daughter runs to daddy, and they have a good jiggle together.
Oh, that's really cute.
And a good sing-along. And we do tend to sing it a lot in the car, actually. If it comes on, then, you know, the whole car goes into song, and we deliberately open the window so everyone can hear us and make a lot of noise.
And that's the one that they particularly love.
Yes.
Chasing Cars.
Chasing Cars is sort of the family favourite.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go. So we're going to listen to it. And you've heard what to do. Wind your windows down, sing your hearts out.
Absolutely.
We'll do it all. Everything. On our own. We don't. If I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? I don't quite know how to say three words I said too much. They're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life. Let's waste time chasing cars around. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Just lay here. Would you lie with me and just forget the world?
Now this, I was talking to somebody about this today, Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and you've chosen summer, because I have the wind chimes in my garden. There's no resemblance. But I thought I was
another
really...
imagination, yes.
I really thought it would work and just evoke the... No, but it doesn't.
No.
But why the piece about summer?
Okay, so Vivaldi is a favorite of mine. Also, one of our favorite places is Venice, and Venice obviously plays a big part in Vivaldi's life. I also particularly love the violin as an instrument. For me, it's what evokes a lot of emotion and a lot of feeling. When we were about to have my firstborn, my son, we were at that time at St. Philip's Hospital, for those who even remember that it ever existed, and we were allowed to take music in.
Okay.
And so that particular piece was actually playing as our firstborn was born.
Aww.
And so it's remained obviously quite a poignant piece of music that kind of always evokes happy moments. Aww. Very, very happy moments.
And are you musical yourselves? Do you, apart from singing your heads off in the car, do you play any instruments?
I unfortunately don't. My mother tried very hard taking me to piano lessons when I was little, and I absolutely hated them. And recently, on a little side note, I actually met this music teacher of mine at a wedding after 35 odd years. Mm-hmm. And of course, poor soul, she asked me, "So how's your piano playing?" And I sort of had to very quietly say, actually, no.
I gave that up the minute.
I gave it up.
But is it one of the things that if you could, maybe the violin or something like that you would...
It's very interesting because the reason I stopped was because I couldn't read music.
Okay.
She was trying to teach me music and obviously my daughter plays piano. I sort of made the point that she did it because I didn't. You know how we project ourselves onto our children. I used to find that very frustrating. Obviously then, having gone through it with my daughter, because obviously I would take her to lessons and then we'd be practicing in the car, whatever. I actually learned so much more with her
than I ever did with this poor teacher.
So I suppose if I was taught differently, because my passion for theatre obviously does tag along with it, the acting, but also the music and all of that goes with it. But personally, I was kind of never naturally good at it.
But now, like I say, now you know, maybe... You know,
well,
when
it's,
you
it's quite funny because my daughter would also took singing lessons, and she had all these exercises.
Yes.
And of course, because she does them all the time, I just got into the habit of doing them. So I'm sitting on a red light with my windows opening, doing these blessed exercises, and then you realise everyone's looking at you, thinking, "What on earth is wrong with this woman?" And then I think, "Oh, damn."
if you can't, we spend so much time in our cars.
Oh.
I think it's. Now you see, again, this is going to happen all over the island. But in the meantime, we'll allow everybody else, because now we're in the start of winter, essentially. But let's have a little dream of summer from Vivaldi.
Bah, now that's more like it. This is the girl I know. But odd choice of songs, slipping through my fingers.
Yes. So ABBA obviously is a hot favourite. As I said, my daughter's very into performing arts and loves her musical theatre, which she does with a passion. So obviously Mamma Mia is a musical that is close to our hearts. We've watched it in London. Mm-hmm. But this particular song is actually about a daughter that's about to get married and how quickly life goes past. Uh-huh. And my daughter is one of these kids. She's very funny because, you know, aged 7, 8, you'd call her down for school and she would cheat. And the bus is about to arrive and she still hasn't gotten out of bed, and she would leave the house with her hair upside down, her shoes in her hands. She'd have forgotten her school case. I shoved the lunchbox into her hands and she was always one big mess. And so, you know, this is a sort of a transitional song that takes you through the childhood of a daughter and the point where she's about to get married.
Ah.
And so, you know, it's mum and daughter doing their nails together, sorting out her hair and sort of looking back at how quickly life goes by.
And do you feel like that happened as well with you, you know, in
well, she's
general?
18, she's turning 19. I would hope she hasn't got married yet. Well, she should have told me about it. But she does live in England now, so there is a sense of distance that goes with that. And I suppose it's sort of that sort of comparison, you know, that she, oh my goodness, she's grown up, she's off to study, she's doing her thing, she's having a blast, of course, and it's exactly what we wish for her. But oh my goodness, you know, 18, 19 years happened. Have just shot past. And that particular song really brings that to the fore.
Might get a bit teary with this one. Yes. Then. Yes. Okay. But yes. I'll be back soon. There's holidays in a minute. But people always return to Malta. People always return to Malta.
We don't want her back too fast.
So a little bit of ABBA here, slipping through my fingers.
The search of that well-known sadness, and I have to sit down for a while. My finger.
And another one, I'm hoping you're going to blame your husband for this one as well, Human by The Killers.
Human is, you know, it's one of those songs that just has such a beat to it, and everybody just has to jump up and down. And last summer, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and I decided, right, you know, let's just bring everybody together who was at our wedding, and let's just have a blast. It. And we had a big chunk of friends coming in from the UK for our wedding, and I started this plan 2 years before, so kind of everybody had a chance to prep up
and
save the date and get themselves sorted. And we had an overwhelming response, and I think we pretty much had most of the people and their kids who were at the wedding. And we had a huge party at Tamena in Gozo, so very much the sort of Abba, Mamma Mia, Vineyard kind of relaxed summer party. And it was the one song that everybody just got off their feet and danced. Oh. And the most beautiful thing about it was seeing the younger generation, the kids, who span all ages really, but probably at this point you're talking sort of 15 all the way through to 25, having as much of a blast as the parents and having it together. And this was the one song, we had Jani Zamit playing for us at the time, and it was, you know, one of the songs that just really hit the button, and it was a case, oh, please play it again, because we all just want to go mad again.
And
it was a fabulous night. It was a really fabulous night. So when you get the youngsters to say, Mum, that was a hell of a blast of a party, you think,
yeah, cool. I still got it.
We've got it.
I'll still got it. So did you go to uni overseas or something, or you went to uni here? How do you have so many friends all over the place?
I went to uni here. My husband was in the UK at the time. We did have a five-year overseas relationship before the dawn of either mobile phones or Skype or anything of the sort, so communication was really quite difficult. And then eventually once I graduated, I actually moved up to the UK myself, so we were there for a good 10 years all in all.
Ah, okay.
And so that's kind of where, and it's very interesting because we've still kept the core base of what started out as my husband's university friends in the UK, whose kids have remained friends with our friends, and typically New Year's Eve everybody comes down to us in Malta or Gozo, and still all celebrations together. So it's now moving down the generations, which is really, really nice.
So it's nice when kids get on with the kids.
Yeah,
and get, you know.
Yeah, and they really do. In fact, some of them are now at university together in the UK, so that's really good fun.
I hope they're not repeating some of the things you guys got up to.
They've had inspiration. They've certainly been inspired.
No, so we're gonna jump about a bit now to Human by The Killers.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. Looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dancer? Pay my respects to grace and virtue. Send my soul and romance, they always did the best they could.
answer. My sign is vital. My hands are cold. Gotta let me know.
Now he just, oh, I just see his face and I can't even hear what he says. But Coldplay, Fix You.
Have you been to any of his concerts?
No.
Oh my God.
We've done them twice.
Yeah. And I first time actually was an anniversary present from hubby, and we went to see them at Wembley in London. And then they were so amazing. Chris is just amazing. Mm. The energy, and he gives so much of himself in his concerts, and he's really all over the place. Uh-huh. And we sort of looked at each other and thought, you know, so it's a favorite family group, and we thought we've just got to take the kids. So off we trotted, and we saw them again in Milan. Then Fix It in particular has a bit of a sadder connotation to it, because we unfortunately had a very beloved, beautiful, huge black Labrador who sadly got sandfly and didn't make it to his fifth birthday. Mm. And Fix It is a song that takes us back to the fact that we couldn't fix him. Mm. So there's a two-way prong to that one. But I think Coldplay, as a family, we're just sold. And so it's something that really conjures memories up for all of us.
It's really nice because it's family music.
Family music, because I think at this point, you know, my son's 21, my daughter's 18. And it's just nice to be able to do things as adults together. We've sort of gone beyond the mother, father, son, daughter thing. Uh-huh. It's okay, guys, what are we doing, you know? And it's something that we do as a family and as equals rather than
as
kids.
And you're not dreading
kids.
When it's their choice of music now, because
Although, to be fair, we've never really had an issue on that front. I think we're all quite on the same page.
Because even my mum and dad liked different music, so it would be, you know, you knew if something horrible was going on in the house, because Elvis would be at full blast. And if my dad was in the bad mood, it would be The Shadows, just left a bad taste in my mouth forever.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah. So no, I think it's really nice that you have these actual genuine musical memories as a family as well. It's really, really nice. So Fix You, thinking of the poor Labrador, but, you know, there's an upside.
Yes.
When you try your best but you don't succeed. When you get what you want but not what you need. When you feel so tired but you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse. And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be worse? Lights will fix you.
But if you never try, you'll never know. Just watch your world. Lights will guide you home, and ignite your bones. I will try to fix you.
Michael Bublé. I have always thought of you as quite sort of together, sophisticated, kind of, you know, go-getter. Michael Bublé. You know, I mean...
I'm Christmas crazy, Mon. I'm completely Christmas crazy.
Yes, yes, I hate it.
Everybody or anybody who knows Fee knows that Christmas is a very big deal in Fee's house. And so, you know, the house is done up to not American-style insanity, I must add. Tastefully done, but we are very Christmas crazy, and the whole point of Christmas is very much bringing everybody together. And because we've always had loads of foreign family friends, even through the older generations, it's always been very much an open house, and whoever happens to be in town is coming
come
with.
Stay, yeah.
So Christmas Day lunch is always at us. It's a major event. It's a huge event. It keeps getting bigger every year. I don't know where we're going to end up. The next table is going to be on the pavement, I think.
actually, just take over that street outside. It's quite pretty.
You. Well, to be fair, the band club does, and they do an outdoor barbecue on the road. So maybe I'll take a leaf out of their book.
Who goes out on Christmas Day? They're all done by 11. You can get the tables laid.
Drop the two ends of the road. And, sorry, guys, but it's mine. So, yeah, but, Christmas had to feature somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I thought Bublé was probably, you know, well, the one that people perhaps relate to best.
Now we probably, when do you put your decorations up?
Okay, so there's a very firm rule about this, because I start humming tunes by about October.
Okay.
My Christmas tree is ordered on literally the week of Santa Maria. When Santa Maria comes in August, that's the trigger that we need to order the Christmas tree. Because we get a live one every year, and it's a pretty big one, so it has to come in specifically. So that's one trigger. My husband's birthday is on the 20th of November, so the rule is I'm not allowed to say Christmas till his birthday.
Day after. Yeah, no, I'm a bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But typically everything goes up literally 1st, 2nd, 3rd December, whenever the first weekend comes. But then everything has to be down by the 6th, which is a
yes. Yeah. Okay.
It's got to go.
So do you get a bit depressed then when that happens?
Sometimes I cheat.
How can you cheat on Christmas?
Leave a few fairy lights hanging around.
Okay,
you know, and, you know, it's quite sad to see everything being switched off at once. so we kind of do it in
slowly,
a little bit of a...
Slowly, yeah. No, because I feel like the house needs almost redecorating on the 7th of January because there's nothing. It feels empty, even though my house is a bit like a gypsy caravan.
It doesn't really happen with us because there's such a tremendous movement of furniture to make everything fit for Christmas. That kind of triggers a reorganizing of the furniture all over again. So somehow or other, you sort of get the redecorating feeling without the redecorating
feeling.
So,
it's all just about over, really. We're heading to the sort of end of January now. But we're going to play this just to humour you.
Thank you.
Michael Bublé's It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once a more.
So, is there anything else we need to discuss? Because like now I kind of feel like we're going to end on the wrong note, or people are going to think it's November or something. You've got to give us another track.
No, you just have to just bear in mind every day is a little bit of Christmas, and that should keep everybody going for a while, especially as we head towards the vision of getting out of COVID and life coming back to normal.
Yes. What do you want for? Yeah.
I think that would be my takeaway. You know, if we're coming out of Christmas, it's a new year. Let's look at the positive side of life. And COVID's given us all a run for our money in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that a lot of good stuff's come out of it as well.
Absolutely.
And let's just hope we don't forget those lessons too quickly.
Yes. That is a fear, takeaway. Actually. Excellent.
I hope we've learned something out of it all.
Well, it's been educational. and a bit of a giggle talking to you, Fiona Kaptur. Thank you very much for joining me, Monique Chambers, on this week's Musical Memories. We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.